Welcome back to Super Tuesday Recap. It's your host, Chris, and Deep. I'm here, and it is that time. We are here to discuss, celebrate, go what the fuck, for the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6 finale. We're doing the two double episodes. I don't even know why they call it two episodes. It's one episode. My DVR does it as one. Like, I almost freaked out because I was like, oh shit, is it gonna get both episodes? And it just had it as one episode, as episode 12 for 2 hours. The Sign and New Life. Let's jump into this because it's a lot, and what they're going to next is just.
I'd like to address the show directly for a second. First of all, how dare you? At every turn. At every commercial. So this is the first episode I watched live all season. So every commercial break, I was like, what the fuck are we going to do now? Every commercial break. That's writing for television.
Yeah.
That's like the writers who know when the ads are coming in their books, and they kill it, and they give you a cliffhanger, and then you're hit with an ad.
Yeah.
This is some next level, holy shit, shit.
Yeah.
And I can't trust it enough, and I can't impress on anyone who, if you listen to this podcast, you don't watch the show, you're hustling backwards. I'm not telling anyone else who doesn't listen to watch the show about the show. I'm not preaching about the show anymore. Just, when they find it, they'll be pleased because they've put together some of the most self-sustained, consistent world building that I've ever seen. Chris, everything matters.
Yep.
Everything they do matters. A well-balanced, well-told story. I'm glad they're getting the last season to tell the fine end of their story. And we'll get to that, obviously, near the end here. But just another round of applause. Like, when I was prepping for this, I was starting to read reviews and recaps. Like, what's the point? We'll just talk about the show because there's nothing that I've forgotten in the 48 hours since I watched it. And there's nothing that I need someone to tell me what they thought about it because I felt it. Everything they did resonated. Every moment they tried to capture, it worked. And now I assume Flint's in the past, which, let's go.
You have Flint and Piper who somehow, I'm believing, are still in the present day with Fitz. And while the rest of the team is, I mean, this is assuming it's the end, but the rest of the team is now going to be pulling an Avengers Endgame and hopping through different points in time. Which we also know this is where those Peggy Carter rumors coming. We're finally gonna get. I know we're jumping to end here, but deal with me. I've been really excited about this ever since I woke up this morning. We're finally gonna get that part of Agent Carter that we wanted, which is we're gonna see Peggy Carter and Howard either forming S.H.I.E.L.D. or have already formed S.H.I.E.L.D. We're gonna get that point at least at the beginning of that next season. That's where. People are like, we might be getting, you know, a crossover with Agent. This is what it is. Because that second season of Agent Carter was very, very well tied into the next season of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. This, with them going back in the time, you know, around that time, that's around the time that Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So Agent Carter is 40s. It's after World War One. World War II, you're right. So we're going back pre that because the Statue of Liberty was built in 30 and 31.
But it was the Empire State Building, I thought.
I mean Empire State Building, sorry.
Right. So I don't believe that point right there, but
Prohibition ended in 33.
Right. So I think that
we're going to get multiple time periods next.
Oh, absolutely. We have to because they're jumping to different parts. So I think they will. This is the kind of show that I would say about like episode 5 or 6 is when you jump to the time period and you meet Peggy Carter and you're like, oh shit, we're about to get a Coulson, an LMD Coulson teaming up with Peggy Carter in the past, and that's everything I ever wanted in my life.
And well, there's someone else in the past with Peggy Carter who's her father of her children, raising her kids.
If I'm not gonna do that. I'm not doing that with you right now.
I'm just saying. I read some interviews. They said everything's on the table.
I'm not doing that because I don't want to get my hopes up. So I'm not gonna go that far.
That's a fair.
I'm not trying to say that.
I did my maths.
I know, but I just, that's one of those ones I'm gonna leave there as a, if it happens, I am going to lose my shit, and I might not even review that episode. So I'm just letting you guys know up front, if that happens, what to expect. But yeah, no, it's the, again, season 7 is going to be like ridiculous. And what I love about this is, and to kind of go back to this episode, these two episodes in this way the season 6 ended, again, it's bringing back everything we already knew. You know, we've been talking a lot about, you know, Robbie Reyes and the Ghost Rider and that part that was inside of Sarge, and that we might get more of that. Because here's the thing: when we said this before, it felt like if they had done it the way they normally do it, this would have been the mid-season finale. Because this show does that kind of stuff where you feel like, oh, wait, wow, we dispatched Sarge and Izzo fairly easily in 2 episodes. So now we're going to this whole thing. Now we got the Chromacons. We're going, wow. But like,
no, you say easily. I don't think this shit was easy.
Well, no, I'm not saying easy. I mean, there's definitely things. When I say easy, I mean, we did it in 13 episodes. Because that's a full 22 for some other shows. And I'm like, well, I think that's going to come back. I don't think everything we got here. Because the whole reason why the Chromacons are trying to take over Earth and make Earth the new Chromacon 1 is because of what Izzel did. So I don't think that piece is done yet completely, just to go off of what we normally do in these seasons. But now we're going to the other piece, and they're going to show you how this show likes to bring all these things together. You know, it brought in the idea of possibly this is where the demon inside of Robbie Ray, the Ghost Rider demon, came from. It brought in the idea that we brought back Flint. Now we're about to go and they brought back the fucking Fury's toolbox. You know, it's like all these little things that we didn't think about and we haven't thought about for a while. They brought back and it's like, oh no, all that stuff is matters. And if you tell me this is the final season, I'm like, this is their way of going out and saying, let's go back and remember everything. It kind of makes the choice during the Hall H panel to kind of revisit what Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. has done in the past and kind of remind us. Like, I feel like we're going to get some, not a whole lot of that, but at least some of that to kind of remind you of, like, those little itty bitty things that we dropped there that you didn't think about. Yeah, we're gonna bring them back.
Well, let's talk about the 2 hours we have before we're talking about the however many hours we got coming. Because this episode starts on a high note with the remembrance of Flint and Izzel immediately possessing him and putting the models back together. So we're all like, oh shit, in game in the first quarter of the first hour of this whole thing.
Yeah.
And I loved Deke coming through with the wristbands. It's like, if you give me another hour, I'd have them rose gold.
Oh, here's the thing about
Deke. And of course,
yeah.
Huh?
Go ahead.
And of course, as viewers, we're notably suspicious. Fish is just like, you're a goddamn genie. And then he's like, I have to tell you something. Here's an R&D lab. Here's everybody who works for me. Which, for the record, still impressive.
Right. But, like, I had it here. It's like, look at Deke, man. Deke's doing the thing. It's like, and then I had it in here. It's like, there he is. That's the Deke we know. I was like, I literally put it in my notes. That's the Deke we know.
I love that that even when like Fitz is chewing him out, he's like, yeah, I stole the ideas, but I still built this shit.
Right. Well, I also like the fact that, so you get Fitz, I'm like, okay, and this, now Fitz is realizing why the old, because you were getting this bonding moment where Fitz is like, oh yeah, you're a wizard and oh man. And I was like, oh man. Okay. Now Fitz is understanding why he didn't like him. And Gemma's all like, come on, guys. For a minute there, we were a happy family. I need you guys to not do this again. But then you get Deke kind of breaking down as to, like, why he is this way. And you kind of get it. You're like, wow, shit. Like, even my own grandparents think I'm a joke. Like, he's in a time period he shouldn't be in. The woman he loves doesn't understand that the lemons mean something. You know, it's like he's never been able to fit in. Like, everything's been...
He's misunderstood. He's a walking representation of it.
Exactly. And I'm not saying that what he does is good, but you can see where that pressure to try to fit in and feel like he's carrying his weight
would manifest in this way.
Right, would manifest, especially for him.
Especially if you've never been in this reality before, you come to this time and you see that capitalism is king.
Right. Like, he thinks
that's... makes some fucking money.
Well, you think that's the way to go. You think that's the way... Okay, nobody takes me seriously. I'm a joke to everybody else. But if I, again, it's literally the thing you see from people all the time. If I make some money, if I make the money, then I don't have the friends. They gotta respect me. And it's more forgiving for Deke because he's literally not from this time period. Everyone else who does that shit, I'm like, what the fuck are you shit?
It's so funny because you're so right. You're like, well, Deke, if you show up here and look around, you're like, well, I guess I have some money.
Right, right. Like, I can see how. Right. Everybody else, I'm like, oh, no, you fucking idiot. You know that doesn't work. For Deke, I'm like, okay. So I can understand why you would think that because.
I see how you got here. Yeah,
I see how you got here. Like, when he was like, the woman I love, he was like, they were like, oh, the woman I love you for my best friend. Oh, you mean butterfly? He's like, no, like Sequoia. I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. She did leave you for Khan, who. Also got murdered this episode, but last episode.
Got.
But Agent Diaz survived, so I'm just saying. Go Agent Diaz.
See, now you know her name, though, so now she's in danger.
Well, we've always known her name, so I'm just saying she's...
Well, hold on. And the thing is, but you remembered it easily. Also, we know the lighthouse fell.
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, true. We do know that, so I don't know. We'll see. Nobody, no death right now. Nobody, no death.
There we go. Straight up some Marvel shit.
Yeah, like there that. We go. Hey, nobody, no death. And even then, sometimes when there's a body, well, you know, sometimes still not a death. You know, it is. yeah, you know what? So I like what they did with Deke here because it's like you kind of get that moment of understanding where you're like, Deke, you're Fitz at one point. You're screaming at Deke. You're like, oh God, you're a fucking idiot. What are you doing? The fuck? You're a hack. You can't do all this stuff. And then as he's strapping that. The jump drive on his back, and he's kind of getting all teary-eyed and going, you're like, oh, man, I can kind of feel it. Don't do that. And then he jumps, and he makes it. You're like, oh, that's good. But then we realize he didn't. It takes 30 minutes to jump again. Fitz is still like, well, I would have told you that if he hadn't left. Just, oh, it was so good. But you also see that moment, that feeling he had when Matt called him Agent Shaw. Like, that moment of pride that Deke had for there.
Yo, I fist bumped.
Yeah, I was like,
get him, Shaw.
There we go, Agent Shaw. But we also know that Mac hasn't forgotten about what he saw because he was like, no, no, he's fine. Just give him a gun. He's played video games. Right, Deke?
Mac was like, my money better clear, motherfucker.
Right. I'm retiring.
Every penny.
I'm retiring off of this, so if you're seeker to save for me, as long as I get that money.
Well, now they all can. Just get some pseudonyms and some smart investments in the past. You can make this shit happen, baby.
Hey. I mean, you gotta save the present, but that doesn't mean you can't also have some fun doing it. So I'm just saying.
Save does not mean don't improve. What the fuck? Like, let's do this.
Make some investments. That's all we're saying.
Investments.
Oh, something else I was gonna say about Deke before.
Tantrum. You know, if I had a teleporter and I threw a tantrum, that's how I'd leave a room.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know what? Can't blame him for that. Last thing, and this is the only unbelievable thing with Deke that I didn't get. I refuse to believe that he's been in our time. He's been doing all this stuff, and he did not know that zombie video games were existed. That's one of the things I refuse to believe.
In his defense. In 2019, how many prevalent zombie games? Like, there was zombie games had a run.
No. There's still a lot. Like, I refuse to.
Okay, if he's cool. I myself am not aware of it.
If he's,
I know that a new Resident Evil came out sometime recently, but that's all I really know about.
Yeah, no. If he's
okay, see, that's just my ignorance then.
Yeah, he should know. He should know better. Okay, he should know better. But then again, he also thought that Michael Jordan invented shoes. So what can I say?
I mean, look.
Although I think I kind of can go with that one a little bit more. I can.
No, can you prove Michael Jordan didn't invent shoes?
You're right.
These photographs, people in shoes before Michael Jordan. Don't pay no attention to that shit.
Right.
Talk about right now. Who invented shoes?
Right. And who knows? Maybe Jordan went back in the time and, hey, time travel's possible. We don't know.
Look, time travel's on the table now.
Anything can go. We find out that a bold black man helped invent his shoes, then, well, what the fuck? But also, like, what they did was when they played with, I like what they did with the fake out with SARS, and you think that maybe, just maybe, they were going to get to the Coulson side, because there's that moment when he started killing, he killed that one zombie strike, and he was like, too much? I don't know, it felt like overkill, and I'm like, May and Daisy look at each other like, that's Coulson. And I'm like, yeah, that is. That is a Coulson thing. Coulson would say that.
It's so cool because it's what Max said the whole time. It's like, there may be shades of the man you knew. This is not that man.
Mm-hmm.
The director got to be right for the whole season, which is nice.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's like, you're absolutely right. So, but at the same time, they kind of did maybe not let. I think they put too much trust in the SARS, but they did need to let him out a little bit to get some of the stuff that he get. I mean, it was smart, use his sword to make bullets. Like, this is literally some like Van Helsing shit. Yeah, I'm down with
make that. It work, make it cap. Yeah. Look, the science looked like cool sci-fi parts of the beginning of the episode. Very smart.
Mm-hmm.
Alter your harmonics so she can't take your body. The bullets that kill Shrike, like all very smart shit.
Right.
And then you get to see how, like the Mike Tyson quote, everyone's got a plan until they get hit in the face.
Yeah.
Because they hit the beach and are like, oh, this is smooth, this is easy, I think I killed all those birds. And the zombies are like,
"No,
nah, Daisy, no. You missed a bunch.
You missed a bunch. Yeah, a bunch. But yeah, I liked it because it played on the emotions that had been building up the entire time with giving, and it's what the show does a lot, right? Giving hope that it'll be easy. Giving hope that it'll be the easy way out. The show does this every time. You know? And so, giving us the hope that the way... Like, if you had told me the way we were going to get Coulson in the last season was take the brain scans and put it into an LMD, I would have been like, no, clearly it's going to be the more complicated version, which is somehow separate the demon that's inside of the Coulson's body and somehow... that was created from the fear dimension and that'll be our Coulson. Like, that didn't make any fucking sense, but putting it into an LMD is the easier way but this show was able to hide that from us because it gives you the emotional weight of Daisy and May seeing Coulson and believing that the man they love could be saved. Which is something that, honestly, and I think this is what the show has always done. It relies on real emotion, right? The real emotions are not only just the cast, the real emotions of the characters, but also the audience. We, the audience, wanted them to save Coulson. You know?
Right.
When we get those little moments, when he called Daisy Sky, when he wants to make the sacrifice play for himself, to sacrifice himself to save everyone, when... he had that little joke, you know, and even May was like, even May and Daisy were like, I don't know, that was a joke. It's like, or maybe he just got better telling jokes that land this time because his other jokes weren't good. Like, those kind of moments, you're like, it's a possibility, and it gives you that hope. And this show knows how to take those moments you've built with those characters. And I think that's, going back to what you said at the beginning about how this show is so great, and how, like, honestly, there's going to be a hole to fill when this show is gone, because not a lot of shows can do that, and this show is really, really good at it. It's good at finding those moments, finding a character you don't like, Deke, and getting you to feel a completely different way about it, and then turning it around again and going, oh no, Deke, you're an asshole, you're an idiot, you know, and having those wild swings of emotions that take you on the ride. So it's no longer you're watching the show, but you're going along for the ride. You're going through the same emotional swings that the characters go, and that's what's good TV. That's what makes good TV shows. When you are not just observing the emotions of the characters, but also experiencing them, that's when it's good. So, And they throw they throw little things in there like new power for Yo-Yo. Like, oh, didn't, and then immediately having a strike go down her throat. Just like, come on,
guys. Yo, yo, you were able to shoot these bullets, but you didn't see that bird coming at you?
Come on.
It was too fast. I didn't see it. What the fuck? Like, that's when that I got mad at the screen.
Let your guard down, man. Can't let your guard down.
I was like, I blame her. Shoot her. Stab her. It's her own fault.
Can't let the guard down. But I also got to say, yo, this show did a great job of, you know, I think the end of, was it the end of the episode 12 where they quote unquote killed May? And I can, I can just feel the heat of everyone like writing angry emails into me because I've been trying to kill May for like the last like five or six seasons. And I was like, oh, she can't be dead. But at the same time, I can just, I'm so glad we're getting a, this is a two-parter. Because God forbid, if this has only been one, if they had done this one episode at a time, we had a week in between, the emails I would have gotten and having to explain that May's not really dead, but, you know.
The emails, you'd have to deal with me, sir.
I deal with you all the time, though. That's not a...
I'd have blamed you for that death. Ooh.
Yeah, you would have. Yeah, you would have. And I, you know what? You know, it's like if, when Iris dies on The Flash, it's like, I gotta eat that. I gotta take that. I've been.
You do.
I got it. You know.
I think we both do. I think we both killed her a couple times.
True, but then I don't count yours when we killed her that first season. Cause we were like she had that not the first season. The was it like season four, where they actually did kill her, and you're like,
oh, Savitar, yeah. They killed her ass.
They did that. That was on them, and they were trying to save her. So you know, I'll let you slide on that one. Me, I've been trying to have Thawne put his vibrating hand through her forehead since like season one. So
it's true. You had me nervous at the wedding.
Yeah, I did. You know, it's just, I do that kind of stuff. So it's me. I would have eaten that one. And then you had the yo-yo thing. So you had May and yo-yo about to die and you're kind of, and I'm kind of like, there's a moment when Flint, when they're talking to Flint and it's like, no, we're going to get you help, buddy. We're going to see you again. And I literally right here was like, yeah, so that's not going to happen. <It's> like never make on this kind of shows, never make the promises. We'll see you on the other side or we'll all be back together. Like that's not good. Don't say those kind of things. You would think better than to say that because we didn't see Piper and Flint for the rest of the episode. And who knows if Mac and Yo-Yo are going to make it out of season 7 to be a happy family with Flint, because that's their son. Like, that's their son.
Season 7 going to hurt, man. This shit, season 7 going to hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, all the talk is you want Pebbles. I was like, oh, yeah. He called her Pebbles? Oh, mm-mm. Three of them ain't seeing each other again. That's not going to...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't...
And then pushing May through the portal and then having on this... So the portal, life and death not matter.
So that was one thing I was wondering. It's like, do we think that was partly a because there is a part of Coulson in Sarge.
See, this is you pulling your May and your Daisy shit.
No, what are you talking about? No, I'm just saying.
Izell said, look, you just underestimated her.
Yeah, that could be it. I just threw it out there, wanted to say.
Okay. This was not flashes of Coulson.
Because at first I thought it could have been. And then when he came back and he was still evil as shit, I was like, okay, no, he's like this.
Yeah, for me, that was just arrogant alien god coming through.
Yeah, it's like, hey, life and death doesn't mean on the other side, so maybe don't stab her and don't throw her through the portal, you know? It's like, you forgot the first step. Like, don't like life and death don't mean anything on that side. And you not only did you push her through the portal, you pushed her through a portal with a fucking sword, with a weapon.
Like, but the portal, I guess, pushing her through was the sign to the three rogue motherfuckers that it's time to do this shit.
Yeah. So
she put them down like a yo. May's a bad one.
Yeah. That's not
And is this the first time we've seen her fight with the sword?
I don't think so. I think she had a sword before in one. Like,
so I was like, yo, May needs a sword all the time.
Yeah, we give her a sword all the time. Like, that's. Yeah. I want to say she did it in like season 3 once. She was fighting somebody and she had a sword. But I could be wrong. This could be the first time. I don't know. I just know May's already dangerous without a sword in her hand, and then you put a sword in her hand, like, come on. And then Azel, come on, listen. You didn't kill her, and you left her on the other side. Don't keep your back to the portal.
Yo, Azel, the actress who played Azel, I get the menacing part. She can't fight real good. Like, May was carrying that fight.
Oh, yeah. No. May was, because again, like, listen, when it's all equal, like, look, when it's an equal playing field, oh, it's May. You got to cheat to beat May in a hand-to-hand combat. And she was cheating before. So
that's so funny you said that. You know what it reminded me of? The issue of the Flash when he's dealing with Hunter Zolomon. He says, here, between seconds, we're both immortal. He says, no, we're equal. And mm-hmm. he punches him in the face.
Yeah.
Right. I was like, yep. Don't level the playing field for May.
Yeah, don't. Yeah, come on, guys. Like, it wasn't a smart play. It wasn't a smart play at all. So,
And while I'm glad we're getting, like, Robo Coulson to end the series, Menacing Coulson's terrifying. Like, when he's walking through Daisy's Quakes.
Oh, yeah. That Coulson, that demon Coulson is, absolutely terrifying. And, but you know what? Shout out to Mac for also kind of pulling his own weight there. Mac was putting
work. Oh, for sure. He did the best he could.
Yeah, Mac was putting that work and then cut him in half with a sword. So, yeah, that's not too bad. Not too bad there. Which I'm wondering. Again, I'm wondering how all this stuff is going to come back and play into season 7 now, because again, I know we're not. This is not. You know, there's still so much more to talk about with that, and it's going to relate into, because it's like, I'm watching this, I'm watching episode 12, we're going through it, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh yeah, the Chromacons. Like, the end of 12, when it shows up with Enoch and the other dude, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot that wasn't, what are they going to do with that? And when they show up at the lighthouse, and they start killing everybody, I'm like, what the fuck are we doing? And then it reminded me, oh yeah, those little things they had been putting at the end of the last few episodes with them, and it kind of explains how they knew about the evacuation, how to break in the shield. It's like, oh, that's what they got from Fitz and Simmons' memories. Please bring that back together. They know all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s secrets, and now they're trying to get everything they need to basically take the Earth and take what they need from S.H.I.E.L.D. And I'm like, oh, that's a pretty big issue to deal with. We're also, because like when Duke came in and was like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, they're, I don't know why Enoch said they were hard to take down, this is pretty easy. I'm like, because they're all out saving the fucking world. You got like the C team plus Fitz and Simmons watching, everybody else is out in the fucking,
you got a bunch of red shirts and Fitz and Simmons.
Right. It's like, what the fuck? I mean, yeah, of course they're easy to take down. Everybody's out saving the goddamn world right now. It's like, I'm reading New Mutants right now, and it's like, if somebody takes, it's like, something happens at one point, and somebody comes in and takes down the mansion, and it's like, yeah, it's a bunch of kids that haven't had training at all right now, because they just signed up yesterday. Yeah, the X-Men are out of fucking town. Of course you took down the X-Men. The quote unquote X-Men. It's not the A team. What the fuck are you doing? But yeah, I'm, like I said, I guess we go back to what we were talking about at the beginning. I'm really interested in seeing what we go for next. Because when Enoch is like, yeah, what we have to do is going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. And Fitzsimmons was like, yeah, sure. Okay. We've heard that before. Kind of change the natural course of your lives. And you're like, and they're basically like, that's it. Again, Simmons is with a Fitz that she still has not married yet, and because her old Fitz died.
He's the spare Fitz.
Spare Fitz. Keep a spare Fitz in space, you know. So, of course, they'd be down. So, when Gemma and them just show up, Gemma just shows up, and you can tell that they had been out in time doing something, because they clearly built all this other stuff and retrofitted the Zephyr. They had everything they needed to save May. Like, you can tell, like, they'd done something in that time when they were talking to Enoch.
They time traveled.
Yeah. Yeah, and lived.
And what he probably did was he had to separate those two. Your brains, they know what you guys think, so we got to keep you guys separate.
Yep. Yep.
That's why Jim was like, I can't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And
which means the reunion, if we ever get it, is going to be that much sweeter.
This has become a
big if, though. Capital if.
It's funny to me how since season two, this show has switched to basically one of the subplots of it has always been the separation of Fitz and Gemma with their an inevitable reunion. Every single season has been.
Well, this one, remember, it happened so fast. We were like, oh, shit, look at this. Get a little happy time. Nope. More pain. I love how Enoch's like, it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done. Yeah, we know. It's life altering. Yeah, we know. Yeah, this shit again. Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you mean another day that ends in Y.
Again. That's the key word. It's again. Okay, let's do this.
But then that becomes a thing, right? Where they literally have to be apart right now because... And so I'm interested in seeing how that works out. How they play that out.
Right.
And so, you know... And then even then, the decision... Like, to me, this is like us starting back at the beginning. Even the decision to bring back Coulson. They're like, Maze down, we can't ask her. The decision that we have to make. We know there's something he'd never wanted. But at the same time, we needed to save the world. We need to bring Coulson back. You know, before they can even talk, Daisy hits the damn button because, again, she wants her daddy back.
But also, that's the only fucking answer at this point.
No, it is. I mean, I get wanting to have the conversation a little bit, but you had to. It's the only answer. He's the man that knows everything.
I was like, either LMD Fury or LMD Coulson.
Like, I don't, LMD Coulson, I don't even, what are we, oof.
But of course it is. Like, they're tying us back to the framework. Like, this is so smart. So well done.
Yep. It's all connected. That was the whole deal.
All the pieces matter, shit.
That was the whole thing when the show started, right? It's all connected. And people took that as meaning it's all connected to MCU and stuff like that. Yeah. But even more so, it's all connected in this show. Everything happens. Everything matters. Everything's for a reason. And it's all connected here. So, absolutely. I'm so in on whatever they're going to do these last 13 episodes. Because if it's like this last 13 they just did for six, man, we're in for a hell of a ride. And I can't wait. It's going to be... Whew. How May's gonna react when she wakes up and see Coulson staying there, but it's LMD Coulson. She didn't get a vote on this. After basically losing the man she loves twice now. Technically three times because if you count
one time because he stabbed her in the goddamn stomach.
True. Technically she saw 3 men she loved, but we're gonna just go with the two for Coulson. And this now he's back and yeah. I don't know. Like, you know what I could... Oh, man, that would be fucked up.
What?
I don't even want to put this out there because then people are going to blame me if it happened. What if at the end of season 7, May decides that she wants to stay with Coulson, so they put May and Coulson in the framework?
Yep, they will blame me for this. They should. You're right. That's a correct statement. They will and should blame you for this. Wow, guys. I had nothing to do with that. I know you'll say that. Like, honestly, I wasn't guiding the saying. I had no idea this was going to turn. I am as disgusted as you are listening.
I mean, it...
Disgusted.
It makes sense, though.
It can make sense and I can be disgusted.
I mean, yeah, I'm just throwing ideas out there. Hey, you know, maybe it's not going to happen. It'd be fine. Just like I said, just throwing it out there. I don't know. So, but yeah, I am not prepared for season 7. I am not.
How could you be? Like, how could you be? They can do anything. They can do anything. And they're telling you right now that they will. Robo Coulson? Robo Coulson. Word. That's where we are. That's what's hot in the streets. Robo Coulson? Okay.
And we know how lifelike these LMDs are, because remember, they had Robo May for the longest time.
Well, this is different because this is an LMD that's taken directly from his brain scans and updated with everything that's happened.
And
which is sad, because I kind of do want the exposition episode of them trying to explain everything that happened to Coulson.
And apparently they even kind of, I guess they talked to it, because they said that he agreed to it. So, like,
they probably talked to him in the framework, like explain what's going on. Like, look, here's what we're thinking.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like, so they kind of got his permission for it. And so it's, oh man, I don't know.
If there's one thing Buffy taught me, it's don't resurrect without consent.
Valid.
That's a deep cut for all you Buffy friends. But yeah, they had consent. And I love the fact that they didn't let Simmons finish talking.
Yeah.
And I hope that we have the Mac. And I know we will, because this show respects everything that's happening. Had the Matt Coulson moment of, I'm glad you're back, but also, like, I feel like I did this shit while you were gone.
Well, I thought you were going to talk about the fact that Matt doesn't like robots.
Matt doesn't. Yo, is Matt still director?
Matt, no, because they said that, they basically said that Coulson would be his right-hand man. So his number two is going to be a robot. And they are stopping other robots.
You know what they're setting us up for, right?
This what?
Alfonso McKenzie, founder of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, man.
He's one of the founders now.
Holy shit. No. Yo, I didn't thought about that, but yeah, you're right. What if it's and not
they're
just...
gonna, what they're going to do is they're going to seed the timeline with tech to beat the Chronicom, so they go back to the moment they took the lighthouse and take it back.
Yeah.
Eliminating the time loop. Yo, this fucking show.
Yo, the basically the secret warriors that Coulson founded at one point are become the founding members of S.H.I.E.L.D. Oh, this is the greatest.
It's like legitimately, like, it's a full circle story, and it's so powerful. And so, because at one point, this was all of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was left.
Mm-hmm.
It was them and some decommissioned helicarriers.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to be ingrained in the history of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is there a better sum up to the show? This show that went from S.H.I.E.L.D. was a thing, S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't that thing, but then S.H.I.E.L.D. will fall and be rebuilt by these people. They will go to their future, they'll see the end of S.H.I.E.L.D., and now they will see the beginning. I'm for it. I'm all for it. Man.
A team that was literally set up to be basically the X-Files of the Marvel Universe.
Right.
Oh. I'm not ready. I hope they do take the full year, because I need a full year.
Yeah, I do too. I hope it's not back for next summer. I need a break.
Yeah. I need to let my time. Yeah. I need my time. I need my time to kind of get prepared for this, because I'm not prepared. I'm not prepared. So. Anything else you got to say about this?
Make my Marvel, baby. From now until the sun dies. Like, this is it. This is Marvel, man. They're coming out. And you know, these 13 are going to be a hot 13. They're coming out firing. They just showed us getting the Empire State Building being built. I want a drink, but I can't have one because Prohibition ended in 1933. Let's fucking go.
This sixth season was a hot 13. So you can only imagine they're coming in for their last go around that they've already finished. It's done. And so.
You know what it being done a year out means too? That's a year of effects.
Mm-hmm.
If there's one thing they've shown on the show, they're willing to spend the money. And if it's a swan song for a passion project for like Feige and his crew, yeah, they'll spend the money.
And just interesting,
we've proven, we've talked about this on the previous podcast. They'll go over budget on certain projects. And seven seasons of okay, let's not even say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm gonna put this in a vacuum. A Marvel television show based on an ancillary property lasted 7 seasons. Do you know how many episodes shows don't make 7 seasons? Veronica Mars made 3, and then they crowdsourced a fucking movie. Like, it was one of those things that I was like, I'm watching Veronica Mars for the first time ever. It's very good. We started 3. And I realized that, yo, this never hit syndication because it never got 200 episodes. Mm-hmm. This is a crowd. The Rotten Tomatoes is like 94% for the series.
Well, and look, the ratings have been great this season. There's up there at the top.
Oh, they held, and I think they went up a little, a tick.
Yeah, they've been holding their own on that Friday. The Friday date has been great for them, you know. And again, and that's just the live number. That's not even getting into the plus threes and the DVR numbers. So no, I mean the show hit its stride. And again, they're going out because it's time for them to go out, not because they're being pushed out. Like, I'm ready for this. I'm so ready for this. I'm sorry. I'm both ready for this and not ready for this. Let me put it that way. I'm ready for this because they've earned the time off.
They've earned to do whatever they want on the way out.
Right. At the same time, I am not ready for what they're going to do to us.
They've earned a musical episode. Quiet, Chris. Don't say a word. They've earned a musical episode. Or a silent one. They've earned a silent one, too.
I like the silent episode. Don't you dare put that.
I bet you would.
Don't you put that musical episode on us. Don't you fucking. how dare you? You talk about me. How dare you? The musical episode. How dare you sully my Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. with a musical episode? Next thing you're going to be telling me that they're going to be adding Black Lightning to the fucking crossover episode this year.
You really shouldn't go in the MTR group.
No, I know. I know about it.
Because people are like supporting it, and I am taking everything I have in my admin power not to kick them out of the group for trolling.
You guys, I saw Chris Williams like, you guys asked for it. I was like, did we though? Did we really ask for it?
Who is you guys?
I want to vote. I want to see hands. I want to recount. Didn't really ask for that. Don't really care. Nah. Like, here's the thing. If he's in the crossover and we have to do it that way, fine. But it better not be a Black Lightning episode. I'm not watching that shit. I'm not watching. I'm sorry. I'm not doing that. So, just I'm more struggling to make it a Batwoman episode. So, like, come on.
I'm not discussing Batwoman until it comes out. Then I'll see it. Then I'll decide if I'm discussing it or not. Because everything I've heard from people I trust is not great.
So here's the thing. I did want to bring up something because I sent an email. Somebody emailed me about. I mean, I said on that that little review that we did, I do want to say it in case anybody else heard it. Cause I said something about how the show is leaning on her sexuality and Legend of Tarn does that. I think I might have been misconstruing what I mean by that is. When you look at some of the reviews for that show, a lot of them are just like, hey, they made Kate Kane a lesbian. And I'm like, well, duh, that's what the character is.
They made Kate Kane a lesbian,
right? Huh? Like, they, huh. like they're excited for the show, and I'm not trying to take away from anybody about this. Like, if anybody in the LGBTQ community is that's the baseline for the excitement for that, that's fine. My problem was, it's like, okay, cool, she's a lesbian, but that's like the base of what the character is. Like, it's more to her being a lesbian than just like she likes girls, right, and being open lesbian,
right?
Like, you know, somebody emailed me in and they brought up all this stuff about like why her character would be like so standoffish and things like that. I'm like, all that was great. None of that was in the pilot. There was none of our, like, her father maybe being ashamed of her for being a lesbian and kicked out of the military.
Well, she got kicked out of the military for DADT.
Well, that is there.
Okay.
That is there. And they even put a little hint of the idea of like why the woman she was with didn't go with her. Because like, well, you're rich and I'm not. I need this. You have privilege. But outside of that, when she comes in, like, the whole maybe she doesn't feel like she can connect with her father, or any of that, none of that other stuff is there. It's not. Like, her father doesn't let her join the crew, not because she's a lesbian, she might not fit in, but because, well, I'm trying to protect you, and I'm like, okay. It's just, my thing is, there's a lot that they can do. When you have a character like Kate Kane, who, when you think of LGBT, when you think of lesbian character, or any, honestly, any LGBTQ character, she's at the top of the list. She's like one of the big ones that everybody thinks about. Like, you have a really big opportunity here to really show what that means and really make that ingrained part of the character beyond just her, you know, liking women. Like, there's more to it than that. There's stigmas. There are There's a lot of things that
it's a full experience.
It's a full experience, and I did not get that from the pilot. It felt like it was literally just them going, oh, look.
And I'm okay with not getting all of it in the pilot because you've got to go. The character development piece is going to be a big piece of all the CW shows.
And you're right. And I also said this. I also think that they might have heard some of that commentary. And I honestly do believe that the premiere that everyone sees is not going to be what Shannon and I saw at San Diego.
And that's fine. And for me, honestly, like, you know me, I'll give all these shows a chance because they've earned enough cachet with me that I'm like, oh, you get a chance until you prove you don't, you're gonna waste it. Season 2 of Black Lightning. But if I can find something redeeming in those first 3 episodes, I'll be in for the long haul. I may not review it, but I'll probably watch it quietly.
Absolutely.
Like I do Riverdale.
And I hope that everything that I hope
it's great. Now, that's the thing. I do hope it's great, but I'm ready. If it's just good, I'll still rock with it.
Right. I'm hoping they put all those pieces in there. And it also could be that the reason why we, especially in the pilot, beyond, because there are opportunities. The reason why I say that, it's a pilot, but there were opportunities to put elements of that in the pilot, and they didn't. And that's where I kind of was like, but my thing is also, and we know this, Ruby Rose is just not a strong actress. And it might be that they're waiting to add that stuff in there because she is not the strongest.
It's actress. Easier to hide those if you layer it on later. Right. Like, Stephen Amell, I think, is a better actor than any of us ever thought.
Yes.
But then giving him going full Ollie in season 7.
Yeah.
Whereas if they'd opened with us, like, that's Oliver Queen, is a very recognizable one, the journey would have mattered so much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So, again, we'll see. Like I said, I don't know. Like, every single review I saw up to that point was just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, they gave us a gay character, and that's good enough. And nobody kind of talked about, like, yeah, but, like, there's no meat behind it. Like, you're just like and honestly, I feel the same way about black characters. If it's like there's no meat behind a black character and you just gave it a black character with nothing behind it, I'd feel the same way. But again, like I said,
that's why we stopped watching Black Lightning.
Who said that? I've been trying to be nice here. There are people
I don't have to be like, nice for. Everyone's pretending like it's good. And if it comes down to silence is compliance, Chris, I will not be complicit in the belief. That's a good show. I will not. They'll be able to say, D. Palm spoke up, goddammit.
So, like I said, we'll see. Like I said, maybe the show gets better. And here's the thing. Even the show is bad, if it's out there given the representation that, you know, LGBTQ folks in the community wants, then, hey, I just don't have to watch it and don't have to review it, and I'll be fine.
Black Lightning is true equality because we can have mediocre shows, too.
Yeah, hey, you know what? Absolutely. So if Batwoman turns out to be that way, it can join Black Lightning.
As I just don't have to watch that shit.
It can join Black Lightning as another show that I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to lie. The minute I started seeing, like, the titles of the Black Lightning episodes, I was like, absolutely not.
The first season's not terrible. It does trail off at the end where you feel like they ran out of things to say. The second season, I lasted 2 episodes like, nah, nigga. Nah, I got better things with my time.
I'm not. If your title is a book... Like, I gotta feel like I'm not doing that. And so, yeah, no.
Why do you hate me so much? And the stuff that I thought was in the pilot was like, oh, little black shout outs. That's like, they bludgeon you with that shit over the course of the series. I'm like, no, I'm good.
And see, I get tired of that too.
I'm good. Real exhausting.
Yeah. So, I'm just, yeah. 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 I need.
Did you know he's black, motherfucker? Like, that's how every episode feels.
It's called Black Lightning, so there's.
But in case you missed the title card, here's some black shit.
Hey, but you know what? People did have fun on those Get Lit hashtags, though. So, whatever happened to all those people, too? There's a lot of people who would be like, Get Lit. And it's like, it's one of those things that people were really, really excited about that show, and then they just trailed off and never heard about them again. So,
I have a joke, but I'll tell you once the podcast is over.
Okay. So, all right, folks. Stay tuned. Coming up this week, we have a character corner on New Mutants. We'll be doing that. Also, yes. I don't know if we're going to do it the same night, but very, very soon, Deep Hum and I are going to be doing some doing our pull list. We didn't do it for the mailbag. The mailbag was already like 2 hours long. I have caught up on Hickman's, well, not just Hickman's. I've caught up on the X-Men, and we need to talk. And also, I also caught up. I didn't tell you this, but I was going to text you, and I was like, I've already texted you enough. I also caught up on Doomsday Clock. And okay, we can talk now.
What did I say?
Okay, we can talk now. Like, the last three issues, like, I'm not going to lie, like, Doomsday Clock, it's a little bit, it's so slow. I'm like, you guys really could have done this in six, but
you know what? Honestly, if they're going to tie it into the Justice League stuff and the Young Justice stuff.
Now you got me. I was like,
cause the same like reality shit's happening in all three books.
Yeah. I was like, okay, now you got me. You got me now.
Last... What I said? I was like, I think they may have altered the timing to match up with other things. You're like, I don't know now.
Well, I don't know either because it's like, well, maybe I don't know.
You gotta ask the question at least.
Well, there, yeah. So I'll do that. But they could have really started with the, like maybe like 3 months ago, and then been everything. Whatever.
I agree too. I'm not saying it was properly planned. I'm saying it seems to be working out okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now we're cooking with gas. Now we're doing it. Now we're getting there. I'm like, okay.
It's
now
one of those things that you take a step back, you look at the full DC universe, like, oh.
Yeah. Now, okay. Now we can have a fucking talk. Now we can do this. So. But yeah. So I caught up on that, and I'm gonna catch up on some other things too as well. So we'll talk about that in the pull list. So, yeah. So
stay tuned. And also, if you're gonna listen to the pull list, there be spoilers. We're gonna spoil some shit. So just spoiler hats on, kids. Also, this week is podcast week at UDPod. Every day this week, we're gonna have a brand new podcast. It kicks off Monday. Myself, Chad Floyd, talking UGA football. Tuesdays, myself and Felder talking about the rest of college football. Wednesday is Nada from Up Rocks talking NFC. Thursday is Aaron from Unreasonable Fridays talking AFC. And then Friday is going to be our SummerSlam extravaganza with myself, Cam Hawkins, and Rich Fan from PW Torch, and friend of the show, Sam J. Franco.
There you guys have it. So stay tuned. We're back podcasting because that's what we do. So again, folks, thank you guys very much for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.